Welcome to WoW Geekly, episode 9.9. My name's Ashayo, and with me is that other streak of geek, Jeppy. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So I'm on solids.
Yeah. You've escaped from the asylum just long enough to have a chat about BlizzCon and all the exciting news.
Yep. Yep.
And then they're going to rip you away.
Excited. Yeah. It was messing with my blood pressure.
Yeah. So I had to get it out.
I was telling you just before we started recording that, unfortunately, due to the sad lack of Wi-Fi, and I don't know why the NHS isn't investing in fibre optic. I really don't. It's crazy. I mean, they seem to be spending all their money on heart machines and bollocks.
Oh.
I don't understand the real need to have really fast internet.
Don't understand geekism.
No. And I had to actually listen, as opposed to see, quite a lot of the BlizzCon coverage. A bit frustrating, to say the least, especially when you'd hear the change of slide and you'd hear a massive cheer from the audience, and then the guy who was doing the presentation would go, "Yep, there you go, yep," and I'd be screaming,
"What?"
Disgust of the nurses. Tell me what it is. Read out the slide. You PowerPoint Jesse. Yeah, so that was
not... You've got one job. Read the PowerPoint.
Job. Fortunately, there was a mass of people who were live blogging either from the virtual ticket. Very few. I didn't see many people who were actually blogging from the floor, from BlizzCon itself. I guess there were a few. And there were a few that were intermittently sending stuff. But yeah. I guess they were all tied up in the excitement of being there.
Yeah, I'm sure all the big players like your WoW Insider and stuff had somebody drew the short straw and had to sit at home and blog it all rather than being there amongst the excitement.
Yeah, WoW Insider did their usual reporting job of having somebody give us an up-to-date thing as and when it happened, which was quite useful. Although the WoW Insider site was slow as a donkey's jackass.
Oh, I bet. I bet it was going to hammer.
It was getting hammered big time, yeah. As was MMO Champion, as were some of the other, and WoWhead as well. WoWhead actually is slow as a granny most of the time at the moment. I'm not sure what's wrong with that.
Yeah, that's well, all WoW, it's, I don't know whether it's hammered or they're just, they need to do some infrastructure upgrades there. But that's, as you say, by the by.
By the by. Because BlizzCon 2013, my goodness. Oh my goodness.
OMG. WOD.
Again, we discussed this just before we kicked off, but I'm really hoping that instead of, like, I know that Mr. Pandaria got called Mop a lot of the time. Mop. And I'm trying to think of some of the others.
BC.
Vanilla.
Walter.
Fortunately, nobody went down that route, but that was a good one, wasn't it? Raph and Kata. That was good. I'm hoping that this one just gets christened Warlords.
Warlords would be good.
Because WOD, not so good.
Not so sure in America, but in Australia or in England, WOD, yeah, not that complimentary.
No, especially when you blow it. So, in mixed company, that's not good.
No, not good. You know that.
And I'm also having had to focus on the vocal as much as I could focus on the visual. The use of the word, and now I'm going to probably say it wrong, a lot of people say Draenor, Warlords of Draenor. Now, I understand now it's actually Draenor. Am I right?
Oh, okay. I didn't really pick up on that.
It did vary.
I kind of gloss over the accents. But it is actually interesting to hear the way that some of the words that you've thought were, you know, always said one way, and someone from Blizzard says it completely a different way. I mean, oh, is that how you're supposed to say it?
I had a really weird Zul'Gurub.
I did too.
What was that about? Zul'Gurub.
Yeah, I picked up on that one. I did notice that one.
But that was good. And I think when we did in episode 9, so we did kind of, there was a leak of the IP being registered in Australia, New Zealand, and finally in Europe, and then closer to the day, actually in America itself.
Yep. And then even pointing towards a Blizzard IP address before the actual opening ceremony.
Yeah. And just before the opening ceremony, a lot of people did pick up on this. DirecTV did a little spiel bit before they broke into the virtual ticket, which I don't know if it was seen by the people at BlizzCon, but they spoiled it themselves as well
Yeah,
before.
because they sat there in the splash screen in the back. World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor.
I can't believe that nobody at Blizzard had some sort of review over those little DirecTV excerpts, but if they did, someone's getting a heavy smack. Although, at least, I mean, if it had been 3 weeks ago and they'd done a little splash, then that would have been a slightly different effect.
It was very close to the announcement.
Yeah, we all went in thinking it's Warlords of Draenor,
Yeah.
and what that actually is. I think they did a better job this time around of keeping it close to their chest, I think.
Yeah,
I think
because
Panda
I mean,
definitely looks forward.
last week I kind of poked fun at them and said, it's not going to be out soon because they can't keep a secret. Well, they've been working on it for a year, and it was a pretty closely held secret until quite recently, really.
It was interesting. Cat Hunter was asking, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody quite high, maybe a Tom Chilton or Mark Morheim, I'm not sure, about the Dark Below. And they were like, had nothing to do with us.
Nah.
Nothing to do with us.
And that baffled me. So as we were saying last week, surely there's a way for companies to register a name in secret. Well, flip side, how did it turn up that it looked like Blizzard had registered that name in if it had nothing to do with Blizzard?
I think there's a preliminary stage of registration, which basically you fill in the paperwork. Whether it then gets to the approval stage or to the stage where it's actually trademarked, which there's a cost involved in that. There's an actual, there's a
Right.
cost and a period of time where other people can go and say, "Well, no, hang on, that's our trademark," and that type of thing. So there's a, you can fill in the paperwork with no hope of it ever being approved, because as soon as they give Blizzard a call, they go, "No,
And
nope, that's
put a
not
name
us."
of Blizzard Entertainment on the paperwork.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
exactly, and that goes through a process which must be quite open in order for people to. And when you were saying last week about it potentially being secret, it can't be, because the whole process is in order to let other people know, so that they can have time to dispute it.
Right, but I
It
mean
can't.
that's for the title, but it doesn't stop you from putting some
No, you're right. Yeah. Using
dummy
another sort of
company
shell
name on it, a
company.
shelf company, yeah.
Yeah. Although, in all honesty, if I'm not sure if they've got some guy over at MMO Champion that just sits there scouring through
He's probably a
new
full-time job.
IP.
Oh, yeah,
It's
he
probably his
is.
job. It's one job.
Yeah.
But if the words Warlords of Draenor popped up, I think he might think it might be well related. But I don't know.
Well, let's go through them
There's
then,
a.
will we?
Yes. I mean,
Because we
geez.
don't want this to be a 3-hour episode. We'll try and keep it short, honestly. This is, I guess, mainly focused for the people that weren't there, didn't watch the live stream, haven't really kept up on what's going on. So if you've kept up on all that, it's probably not a lot new in this episode for you. But yeah, you might be
We
interested to hear our
are
take on
impressed.
things anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have opinions.
We do. We do have opinions. I'll take my top
Put
off.
that away.
Got hot in here.
Are you about to blow your wad?
Well,
So,
not going to
what's
whip
first
that
on the
out. That'd make a
list?
mess. So, what's first on the list? Yes, the title, Warlords of Draenor. Zachary. So it's, I guess, I'm not sure that they've spelt it out precisely, and people have got concerns about, well, this is going to be another time travel, wibbly wobbly thing,
Timey-wimey.
because it's a version of the Outland before it got destroyed. Didn't really get destroyed, but in the state that
In
we know it,
Legend.
yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going back in time further.
Mean, they say they kept mentioning the about 30 years back, 30, 35 years back before the events of the Burning Legion. Now, I know a lot of people who, if you look at some of the intro stuff, like the video you get when you choose a race and that type of thing, there is mention of time you know, 10 years ago, da, 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 and all this sort of thing. And a lot of those have been updated with Cataclysm in mind.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't seem, 30 years, it doesn't seem that far
back. Doesn't seem that long ago, does it?
I don't know how aged orcs are, but as I understand it, you're going back to an age where the fathers, the parents of Garrosh and I can't even say the name, Thrall. The shaman dude. They're young. They're relatively young anyway. They're not aged. That doesn't seem far enough back, 30 years, but I don't know. I don't know what the time, I'm not a big lore dude, but so I don't really know time scale. Yeah. But
well, I mean, there were some questions on that, and Metzen, you know, said, don't worry, it makes sense, you know, trust me, I wrote it. So
Metzen okay. needs to have some sort of brain scan. I'm not sure. He's funny because he's like, sometimes he doesn't seem to be there. He doesn't seem to be fully focused. And he occasionally looks like he's just woken up and he's not sure what all these thousands of people are doing staring at him. And then other times he's so sharp and on the ball. Some of the stuff, when he starts to riff on his passions, it's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
You know, he has got that sort of character. So
very charismatic.
If you do get a chance to look at, hopefully some of this stuff will make it to YouTube, and hopefully it will do, even if you haven't managed to purchase the virtual ticket or weren't lucky enough to be there. You really do need to see him in full flow. He really does. Fill in a crowd.
So this will be the first expansion where this sort of thing has happened, and I'm wondering what's going to happen in terms of zone names, because the zones Nagrand and Shadow Moon Valley, for example, in Warlords of Draenor, are called Nagrand and Shadow Moon Valley.
They are indeed. Yeah.
So, there's going to be, not that a lot of people go to Outland much anymore, but still, it seems odd to me that they didn't call them something different.
Yeah,
and you can't say old Nagrand and new Nagrand, because the old Nagrand is actually the new Nagrand because it's earlier.
Yeah, there is a certain level of confusion.
Mm.
But they are kind of restrained, because we all know that the Orc clans kind of came from Nagrand, some of the big Orc clans anyway.
Yeah,
and especially the one that Fall is.
But you think like kind of like. Places in real life, the people native to them call it something slightly different. Like, for example, you know, most of the world calls Milan, but the locals call it Milano.
Yeah.
So you think they might have called something like that.
Yeah, that's why I'm not too fussed about calling it Draenor, Drino, Dr. Anor, because, you know, lots of people, I don't call it Paris, and I'll be buggered if I go to Gay Paris.
Yeah. Right?
So I'm going to call it Paris. I'm going to call it Moscow. I'm not going to call it. And the Mechs call it Moscow. So I don't know what that's about. But you're quite right. Nagrand is still there, and as is Shadow Moon Valley. Although Shadow Moon Valley, of these places are looking incredibly different. Nagrand, not so much, because it is quite verdant in our timeline. But the other places that got completely scorched by the Burning Legion and failed up.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Shadow Moon Valley looks like before it got screwed up.
And I believe Shadow Moon Valley is where the Alliance will be having their main base in what is currently the Black Temple. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that level of detail.
Yeah, so I think that is the case. All of that stuff was very interesting. The shape of the map does kind of reflect what we know as Outland, but obviously...
Yeah, I mean, if it's the same planet, it's the same continent, it's a different time zone. It's got the shape has to be familiar to us, otherwise it just doesn't make sense.
But what there is a lot of, in where we now find Twisted Never, there's a lot of water, which will be interesting as well.
Hmm.
And there's a few islands, which a couple of them have been designated. One of them being a PvP island.
Yes.
Sounds like good fun, but there's a few of them there which we don't know what they are yet. They are very distinct on the map, so I guess that is for future exploration.
6.1, look out, Isle of Thunder, Outland style.
So they've gone back old school. They've decided not to go with a 5-level jump. They've decided to go for a full 10-level jump, which I think makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I don't think that was a surprise to anybody because the heirloom that Garrosh drops says works from level 90 to 100.
Yeah.
So that was really no surprise to anybody. I think we knew that.
There was a certain amount of gaspage because somewhere along the lines, I'm not sh they're not nobody's even sure where this came from. There had been a discussion of them never going beyond 100. I don't know where that came from, but it was asked directly of Tom Chilton, and he said, "No, go as high as you want.
Yeah, no,
Be
I
110,
mean,
120, 130, whatever."
yeah, there's no way that they'll stop. It's the same with the rumors. This will be the last expansion. Yeah, no way. You're dreaming.
Well, many of the developers, Chris Metzen notably, said that they already know what the next expansion after this is. Fully, they know what that is. It's not like they're just kind of thinking about it. They know what the next expansion is, and this one is leading toward that one. This is
Right.
not a isolated expansion where next time we're going to move on to a completely different timeline again. And they know the expansion after that one. So that's two expansions that they've got lined up.
Yep.
And many more after that. I think it was Tom Chilton that did say there may well be an expansion at some point which doesn't necessarily see any level cap rise, and there'd have to be new mechanics in order for you to feel like you're progressing.
Sure,
But he
that's
didn't. He
okay.
didn't. He,
I'm
there's
happy
no
with
need
that.
to assume that it's
No,
going to happen. So,
no, no.
mean, rumours of WoW's demise, hopefully, were knocked well out of the park during the BlizzCon, because I don't know about you. I mean, we're calling this first impression, but my first impression was reinvigoration of the entire franchise.
Yeah,
I really
and they're
felt
really
like,
shaking it up.
and not it's not like they're sitting back at the laurels and going, okay, here's a bit more land.
Exactly.
Do what you want with it.
And yeah, the next point being, it really speaks to, well, there's no reason. People were saying, oh, you don't want to level to 100 or 110 because it's just too slow to level. Well, they fixed that, haven't they?
They have with
By
each
warlords of
purchase of.
By the Warlords of Draenor, and you get to boost any toon to level 90.
And that includes a toon that you already have up and running, maybe at any level, and or, which I
A
was
level
quite
one
surprised by,
banker.
scratch.
Level one banker, level 90. Bang!
Although you're
Awesome.
going to have to be careful because it is one
Yes,
per
one per account.
upgrade of the account. Now, I see in brackets you put how much to boost a second.
Yeah, so if this is a, they're going to look at that and they're teasing you, they're giving you that ability to boost a character. Guaranteed, it's going to be a micro payment to boost a second or more characters to 90.
Yeah, I seeing that they have that. I mean, they've always had that technology. I mean, that is what kind of Squall of Resurrection does. Squall of Resurrection lets you basically currently go to 80. And I'm not sure whether that will change now that Wrath goes to 85. They may well do Squall of Res up to
You'd
85
think
again.
so, wouldn't you?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
I mean, that's really what the whole boost thing was hoping for. That they were hoping, well, I stopped playing in Wrath. I want to come back, but I don't have to want to level. I'm going to pick up my old main and boost them to 90 and just pick up and go. And that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea, and something that we've talked about probably nearly all the shows. This whole idea of this massive curve that you have to face. Now, not only as a returning player, but obviously even more so as a new player. And Blizzard are very much hunting the new player. They have to be because of the massive amount of churn that an MMO goes through.
Exactly.
But who wants to do it? Who wants to pick up the five expansions or the battle chest and the panda and then eventually WoD or Warlords
Not be able to
and
not
then
have to spend 2 months leveling a tomb before you can experience the new content with all your friends.
but this is it, bang, you go to the shop, you get your download of your game, you choose a class, boom, you've got a level 90, you can go straight into the new world. And they've also said that they're going to do something similar to what they do with Scroll of Resurrection. They're going to clean out, this is assuming that you've already got character running, but they'll clean out the bags. They'll probably give you new high level bags like they do with Scroll. They'll give you a little bit of gold. They'll give you a set of gear which will be commensurate with the eye level of the gear starting out in the new zone. You're going to be ready to start leveling with your mates. And that has to be knocking down the hurdles that a lot of people face when they're trying to convince their friends to come play again or come
Exactly.
play for the first time,
First
which I think.
time or return. I think, you know, it's going to mean a lot of returns.
Oh, yeah. Because there's nothing worse than umming and ahhing about whether you should go back to WoW and then thinking, oh, geez, there's that leveling I've got to do. And that really does put a lot of people off. Well, normal people, it puts off.
And in this
So with all that.
expansion, you won't have to worry about when you're trying to figure out, do I level one of my U-Butte mains from this expansion, or do I roll a new race or class? You won't have to worry about that,
Was there any?
because there ain't any.
And I don't think we expected any, did we?
No, and I don't think we need any. You know, I think they've given us enough choices that, you know, they don't need to keep adding new races and classes in every expansion.
Unfortunately, that does mean they're retaining the 11 slots, but there's no plan to give us a 12th slot.
Did they say
That was
that?
confirmed
I didn't.
by Tommy Boy.
I
Yeah.
didn't. Damn.
Where he said that there's a slot now for each class, which there is. The 11th was to cover the monk class,
Yeah.
and that
But
if
again,
Imogen's
I
still
go
going
back
fast.
to I go back to they're tearing down the realm walls. You know, that it shouldn't be turns per realm anymore. It should just be give me my 50 turns per account. In fact, it should now be 100, because come on, the game's been out for 9 years. Just give me 100 turns per account and be done with it.
As MMO players in World of Warcraft, we are rather spoilt because when I think back on the tiny, tiny number of slots that you used to get in many other games, some of them won.
But they're not
We
games
are
that you've
kind of
played for
spoiled.
9 years.
No, indeed they're not. No, and they also don't necessarily have the breadth of classes and races that WoW has.
That's right.
Although you look at something ridiculous like I can't remember the name, Evercrack, Ever, whatever it's called. EverQuest,
EverQuest.
that has like 1,000 classes and a
I never
thousand
played that.
races. Don't.
No,
Although I believe there's a new version coming out, you might want to try it.
I'll pass.
So lots of rooting and screaming and dancing about the next thing, which is new character models.
Sexy.
Yes, some of them are certainly sexy. I was a little bit worried about. Once I got to see it, my reaction to the gnome female who has these very come hither eyes, and you're so like, ooh, hang on, oh no, hang on a second, she's like 6 inches tall. That might be a
You
problem.
got massive eyes.
Yes. What did you think of the quality of some of the models they showed?
I thought they were awesome. I thought they've done a really good job. And I liked when they actually stripped it back and they show you the wireframe, and you can actually see the increased number of polygons in the wireframe. It's like, yeah. And the just the animations now, and facial expressions, and just the, you know, the textures of the undead. You know, the improved textures of the undead they showed before and after. They've done such a great job.
I'm looking at some of the still shots they've got over on MMO Champion, and they did a very good job of comparing the current models to the planned new models. And it's actually when you see them side by side, you realize just how basic the current models are. I know, because your brain kind of makes allowances
I
for
mean,
those.
you fill in the slots, right?
Yeah, exactly. But these new models are stunning. The new n male gnome. I don't think it's going to win any friends. This idea that somehow making it more animated is going to make it more playable, I don't think so.
I mean,
Get it more punting.
it's great that they've improved the, you know, things like the facial expressions and everything. But I mean, how much time do you actually sit there spinning your camera around and looking at the facial expressions on your turns?
Yeah, well, you don't. That's the thing, is the vast majority of people play and you want to see a very animated
Yeah,
back.
it's all about the animation and, you know, the way the cloak flows and the shoulders move and the running and just the, you know, the improvement in the texture. I mean, it's great that they've improved the face, but I'm more happy that they've improved all the other aspects of it.
He doesn't seem so hinky when, say, for instance, they showed the orc running with a cloak and the loincloth. I'm not sure what that's about. But just the cloak flowing, the hair bobbing, it felt more natural. But what they have done, which I think is incredibly clever, because what they could have done is gone back to the drawing board and they could have taken the nuts of the character and created something that does not necessarily
draw
look...
a new orc. Yeah.
Exactly. What they've done very cleverly is they've kept the essence of the character. They've just made it more mobile, more animated, the ability for us to see more detail, more defined, which I think is an incredibly good move.
Oh, there'd be uproar if they completely changed the way that an orc or a tauren or an undead looked. If they went back to, if they drew it from scratch, it'd be like, this isn't my game, this isn't my character, what have you done?
Because what they're thinking of is day one, and again, this is something that Tom Chilton mentioned when he was talking to Cat Hunter. From day one, they want you to go in. They want to see your new, see, you know, all the characters are going to get this overhaul. They want you to see your character on the screen and they go, okay, that's my character. I'm just seeing them in HD rather than SD, for instance. You know, it's just I don't have to say to myself, oh God, that's not what I created.
Sure.
Because she asked him, would there be a free rebuild so that, for instance, each time you go in, you can change the way it looks? And he said, no. You don't, you know, you should be happy with what you've got. And if you don't, we have many services which you can buy to change it. And there's a barber shop if you just want to do the hair.
Yeah.
So I was blown away by these new characters. We've only managed to see so far the orc, the dwarf male, and a bit of the dwarf female, although only, I think, in pictures.
Yeah.
And no male and no female.
Tauren male, but just pictures.
Yeah. Actual pure animation, I think we saw mostly the orc and the dwarf male.
Mm. So it's things like that, and there was a bunch of other questions that where the answer was along the lines of, we haven't worked out how we're going to do that yet, but, you know, we will do that. Says to me that we ain't going to see this for a good 6 to 9 months.
The expansion?
Yeah.
Because you can't envision them coming in with a certain number of models changed and then not the others.
Well, it feels like from answers to questions and, you know, the chats and stuff that they've still got a long way to go.
Well, they Blizzard... It's almost a joke now in the industry. Blizzard don't give dates.
No.
You know, they just don't do it.
That's
because
fine.
They don't want to set something they're missing.
No.
Which is fine because we've all come across many, 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 many hundreds of games, which actually when they give the first date, everybody should go, yeah, right. And then wait until it actually comes out because it's never, I can't think of a game that's ever really hit its first date. I mean, these big games are so incredibly complex. Yeah. And what Blizzard don't do, and what unfortunately some kind of companies do, is they don't want to put it out and then fix it.
Put out crap. You know, it doesn't work.
Hey. Yeah. Because unlike these other game companies where you buy the box, they've got your money, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. They're off. And they can spend some time perhaps sending out the bug fixes. Blizzard need to retain you as a subscriber, and they don't want you to have a bad taste in your mouth from day one.
So yeah, so they've said next year sometime. So
well, they were again. Kanta, being the ace reporter that she is, asked him directly when it would be out because there has been a lot of discussion about their way they've retooled their production. In as much as they have been aiming for some time now to get an expansion out per year, which of course has not yet come anywhere close to fruition. But she asked him, and she said, "Well, you know, looking at what we have on the floor today, and we're looking at some of the stuff that you've shown us here at BlizzCon, are you looking at a summer release?" And he said, "Well, that may well be what we're aiming for, but we're not giving any dates because so much changes." Also, this is again by the by, but they mentioned that they're going to be it seems pretty certain there's going to be a BlizzCon 2014. Mike Morhaime said he just couldn't wait 2 years again. And as I understand, he's the guy that says, yes, let's do another one. Hopefully. You know,
so. Well, I mean, there's plenty in the pipeline now for them to talk about. So
But can you see a BlizzCon 2014 in the midst of a release, which will be about November next year?
Mm. That's a good
I
point.
I would hope for an early summer release.
You're dreaming.
I would be really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good. We don't if have we, a board if we like see the that... Salty Boys, but let's get a board up, and I'm going to put a no later than August release.
Oh, really? Gee whiz. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say that you're not going to see a beta before May. So there's no way it'll come out by August.
I say you see the beta in March, and the release in August,
right.
or even late July.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go beta in June, July.
Release. Oh, you were May a minute ago.
No, I said you're not. I said you're not. Oh, you're not going to see a beta before May. Okay. So release, I can't, honestly, I just cannot see the release being any time before October.
So you see them blowing their wad in October.
Mm-hmm. It's on the board. There we go.
It's on the board. Okay, we're going to see that. And as we get closer, I'm going to give you one more chance to renege on that and come back.
Okay.
But we'll see. So again, if you want to hear some woots, you want to hear some massive geekgasms, use the word garrisons.
Garrisons. You sit there and think, garrisons? What is garrisons? What could that possibly mean?
Exactly. Because they like were quite smart. They did this in... Sorry.
I like your description that you've put in the show notes. Clear housing on crack.
Yeah, because what has the WoW community been crying out for? Player housing. And I think they got a little taste of it with the farm. And a little bit of customization that you could do in your little shack.
Yeah.
Basically a shack, isn't it? Let's be honest. A shack on stilts.
It's a shack.
And they said, well, you know, you could say, well, instead of having a shack, we can give you a proper house with a few rooms in it and a place to stick a couple of trophies and stuff.
Hmm.
But no. Blizzard don't say to themselves, let's go. No. Let's give you a town, in effect, that you can build yourself. That you can have a level of customization to what you put in there. There are a few set pieces that all garrisons will have. But once you've gone past that, and it seems to be working similar to the way that a farm works, that you earn plots.
Well, I mean, I think they've taken a lot further than that. To me, it's like, you know, they're taking mini games. Like, you know, they've taken Pokemon and put it on steroids, and they've put it in the game as pet battles.
Mm.
To me, it's like they're taking the city builder type games. You know, your Simpsons Untapped, your Tiny Towers, and all those sorts of games, and putting them on crack and sticking in that in as a whole game within the game.
Yeah, because it's not just a place for you to go and hang out.
No. No, I mean, it's a hub. You get followers and you build them up and they can go and mine for you, or you get a group of them together and you tell them to go off and do a dungeon and
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm not sure they have any plans for this, but they did say that, say for instance, like you just mentioned, you can have a mine. Actually, I think that it's one of the things that comes with, it's like the starter kit. You can have a mine and you can send your, if you have a minion or a follower, as they're calling them, that can mine, I guess you have to decide upon their talents that they can have. Then each day that miner can go into your mine and mine. And then you come back and every hour it's picked up a couple. The illustration they showed is two pieces of ore every hour, which is not a ton, but it's better than nothing. And also you have a mine on your property, which you can mine yourself. If... I've lost my train of thought completely, but the fact is that you can then, what was I going to say? I'm staring into the eyes of this gnome new model. It's me off completely, but you're able to set those guys running offline, which I think is pretty impressive.
Oh yeah.
You're not necessarily going to have to do that.
Well, that's why it's like those city builder games. Yeah. It's not that you're sitting there waiting for them to do stuff. You go, okay, well, here's your task. This task takes 4 hours. That takes 6 hours. This task might take 3 days, and you set them off. Yeah. And you know, it happens while you're not playing.
Yeah. what I was going to say is that they did say that if you went into your mine while your miner was mining, you'd see him there chopping away and getting and mining. And I don't know what they have planned for, but it would be fantastic and something that if they don't do this time around, they would love. I'd love them to do in the future is for you to be able to see the raid happen or the dungeon happen.
That would be pretty awesome. Be
to have a playback of how your team did, because it, in some ways, it's almost. And I'm sure pet battles is what inspired them to take this such a step further. It's like having a team of humanoid pets.
Yeah,
but instead of you standing there toe-to-toe with the other pet, you will send them off. And they'll have different qualities. Some there'll be tanks, there'll be DPS, there'll be healers, there'll be miners, there'll be professional, you know. And there'll be a series of quests that are unique or specific to garrisons. They're not; these aren't the quests that you could have done yourself. These are quests that are specific to garrisons that you can send them on. And depending upon the type of quest it is, if it's a kill quest, obviously you want to send a couple of DPS there, maybe a tank, maybe you want a healer as well. If it's a collection quest in a relatively quiet area,
just send off a hunter.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's absolutely freaking amazing. Now
it's going to be. It's going to be even bigger than pet battles. It's going to be massive. I can't wait for it to play with it.
Massive. Mm. And this idea that, again, like pet battles, these aren't not all followers are equal. There's going to be epic followers. There's going to be rare followers. There's going to be a basic grey or white follower. There's, you know, it's massive. It's absolutely massive. Obviously, there's a limitation to the number of followers you can have, so you have to be quite choosy in what you go for, depending upon what you're aiming to get from your garrison. And although these garrisons are going to be instanced, very much like the farm, that you are unlike the farm going to be able to bring friends in, group with friends and bring them in and show them your garrison. And there's plans for trophies and monuments. And the type of thing that lots of people like to have when they have a housing situation within an MMO, where you can see a history of your character through the things they've collected, which I think, again, is massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. I mean, it's one of these things that falls down with me, and we've talked about this before, in single-player games, that it's fantastic to have a gorgeous-looking garrison that has monuments and trophies, but ridiculous.
Yeah, no one's around to see it. Yeah.
Screenshots are one thing, but you want to invite your friends in. Somebody asked one of the panelists how many people would be allowed into a garrison. And he said, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Bring your raid team. Bring a 40-man raid team, whatever. And then somebody said into the mic, I apologize to the server administrators. It could crash. But yeah, it's going to be instanced. The choice of where it goes in a zone will be limited, but the choice of a zone will not be limited. As I understand it, you'll be able to put one in any zone.
The grand. Back to the grand.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will go for the grand.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, let's hope they have player housing. Let's hope they have player housing. Garrisons. Okay, well, you know.
Leaves player housing player in housing. The dust.
It does. And if I'm perfectly honest, I'm already thinking multiple garrisons. I'm already thinking, because they did say, again, this is an interesting question. Somebody asked them, would it be possible, instead of picking up followers, and by the way, you can pick up followers in various ways, including your very first sort of starter kit for your garrison will include an inn, which, as I understand it, followers, you know, NPC followers stagger into, and you're able to sort of purloin them and have them come join your garrison. Somebody asked, would it be possible to have my alts be the followers? And one of the panelists said, yes, you know, it's not something we're working on at the moment, but it would be cool if you were able to bring across some of the stuff that your alt has achieved and picked up and use that in the context of a follower. But they also said that as you level up through the new content and you're able to build a garrison, the first character you do it on, obviously, that's relatively straightforward. The second character you do it on, Do you build? Do you then have to go and build a whole new garrison from scratch? Do you have to go through the same thing as we did with our farms, where the you know you're basically back to one plot and sod and nothing else? And they're going to work on that. I think they're going to have to work on that.
Yeah, and because they've got to, because does that mean they need to go back on some things that have become account wide, like achievements? If it's like if you've got like a trophy that matches an achievement, then yeah, did you get that on your account or on that player? Which garrison can you see it in?
It's very interesting stuff. One thing I hope is that it doesn't become so complex that it gets pushed back.
Somebody in Guild Chat earlier was saying, I wonder what feature is going to get dropped off because, you know, one great idea always seems to not make the cut and they run out of time and it gets dropped off. Oh, I hate to God it's not garrisons. I really do.
I would say that they would be in for a bit of a kicking.
Yeah.
If it were garrisons. Now, whether that means they have to bring in garrisons and it's one garrison per account and therefore the idea of whether other achievements were earned by alts is moot. You know, fair enough.
That's probably okay. I'd be happy with that. Problem. Yeah.
No, but.
But and I guess the garrisons were playable at BlizzCon. So they've obviously done a hell of a lot of work on it. So it's not like you're. What was that? The feature.
Path of the Titans
that, you know, everybody was rah, rah, rah about and it dropped. But.
Yeah. Please, people, forget about Dance Studio.
Did you see that they in the mock up that they did?
Yeah.
They put in the garrison what you can build. You can build a dance studio.
We wouldn't troll our player base. They know that people are watching those things with an eagle eye.
Yeah.
You're gonna see that. I love that. Another thing that comes out of this whole garrison thing is professions. Now, we just mentioned that you're able to select a follower to be a miner and that a relatively small amount of mining can be done, but it can be done offline. So it doesn't sound like a heck of a lot, but if you're away for the weekend, you know, if you're offline doing other working on alts, you know, this is the thing. I mean, it's not just offline, it's just going on all the time.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you're doing, you know, your miner is mining. I don't know if he has to have a mandatory rest break, but he may be mining for 24 hours. You know.
The other thing that I'm not sure if this question got asked. I didn't hear it get asked. Was well, step back. The question got asked. You know, are pet battles ever going to go mobile? And you know, they said it's something that we'd love to do, and it's been discussed a lot. And so I'm looking at garrisons and I'm thinking, you know, this is a tablet game.
Yeah.
Are they thinking ahead and you know, developing it as a separate tablet game as well? So they got asked, didn't they?
He did get asked, yeah. And there was certainly not an affirmative yes, but there was doesn't sound like a bad idea. Yeah. Because you can imagine that, sat at your tablet using your, I don't know, whatever the application will be, whether it will be built into the current application or as a separate thing. But to be able to hook into your garrison and see the progress of the raid that you set going a few days ago or issue new orders.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, why not? Because it's instanced. Yeah. You're not affecting the game world around you.
That's right.
Of course, I mean, it's perfect.
I could well see them go, garrisons on your tablet, no problem. That's $5 a month.
Yeah, and I can't imagine anyone.
I'd buy that.
$5? Yeah, sure, no problem.
No worries. Thanks,
Blizzard. You can see. I know we're kind of going off track a little bit, but when I watch a BlizzCon, when I watch the Mike Morhaimes, the Chilterns, the Metzens of the world. Talking, you can see that these people love games. They absolutely love games.
Great
love
passion. The game community. Yeah.
Fantastic passion. there are people at Blizzard that obviously, if you're running a company, they need to make money. And the combination of giving you something absolutely fantastic that you're going to get hours upon hours of entertainment from for a relatively tiny cost per minute of entertainment, when that comes together, which I think it has done, say for instance with pet battles. Now, at the moment, there's no monetary extra for pet battles, and I doubt there ever will be to any large extent. But there certainly will be a point at some stage where, I mean, well, I say that, but of course there is a certain monetary, in as much as if you want to buy pets, it gives you more incentive to buy pets that are unique to the store and so on and so forth.
I mean, a large part of the reason that I bought BlizzCon streaming is because I got a pet.
Yeah. And one thing, I mean, I didn't think I was going to see BlizzCon via the virtual ticket this year because I was going to be away. And I was tossing and turning the night before BlizzCon, in a hospital bed, as it turned out, before BlizzCon kicked off. And I phoned my son and said, listen, get on to the Battle.net account and buy it. At that stage, I had absolutely I did not envision my ability to watch it or even listen to it at that stage. Okay, so I think we've pretty much given Garrison's a good kicking.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more about Garrison's as the weeks and months progress. Hopefully, the people that got to play them at BlizzCon or get to play around with them at BlizzCon gave lots of great feedback. I know there were plenty, 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 plenty of questions regarding Garrison's during the various Q&As. So it's obviously something which is incredibly important to the community. What they haven't done is they haven't forgotten the vast number of people who PvP, and they've given them their own little island.
Yeah.
PvP Island. I can't remember what it was called, actually. It's got a proper name, I think. But interesting, the fact that they're trying to... A lot of this stuff kind of rings of the word old school.
Right. Yeah.
What they alluded to was the massive battles that used to take place over between Tower and South Shore.
That was awesome.
And it was awesome because at the time, and this is, they were asked whether they could just not go back to doing world PvP. Why have a separate island? That was one of the questions that somebody asked them. And they said, well, because the reason world PvP happened, there was organic. There were no battlegrounds. There was no way necessarily to earn something they just had introduced at the time, which was honor, but any other way. Either you went out into the world and killed your opponent, or you didn't earn honor. There was, you know, just, there weren't other options. There are other options now, many other options, many battlegrounds and so on and so forth, so that would not necessarily be necessary. You know, it just wouldn't happen. It doesn't happen organically. It doesn't happen. They can't force people to march over to Tower Mill and start kicking the shit out of each other anymore.
Exactly. So that's interesting. I didn't pick up on it, but now thinking back to the highlights of what they're adding, where they were mentioning scenarios, dungeons, raids, I don't remember them saying new battlegrounds. So is PvP Island it for new PvP content in this expansion? No new battlegrounds?
I didn't even mention any battlegrounds. I would be shocked if there weren't some, because the new battlegrounds necessary to kind of fit into the content. Because what new battlegrounds tend to do is are tertiary to the actual storyline, but they kind of fit into the content of the storyline.
Right.
So I'd be surprised if there were no new battlegrounds. It's just obviously something they've not focused on during BlizzCon.
Maybe it just hasn't been done yet.
Maybe it's further down the line.
Yeah.
And perhaps PvP October. Island.
October.
Well, new battlegrounds in October. The thing out in August itself.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's a point, isn't it? I mean, if they're giving us an island in 6.0, then really they don't have to add battlegrounds until 6.1.
Yeah, and this is a slightly different paradigm to what they've done in the past with Tol'Barad and Wintergrass, where there was a set time, it'd kick off every 2 hours, and that you'd go there, the teams would be built up. They're going to be using a heck of a lot of cross-realm technology in order to try and balance the number of Horde realigns.
Yep.
And it's going to be persistent. It's going to be ongoing all the time.
Yeah, just got going constantly. Was this the feature, I forget now, getting some stuff mixed up, where they said your realm would be basically paired up with another realm. So if you like had a realm that was Horde heavy, you'd pair it up with another realm that was Alliance heavy.
Yeah. And it would be dynamic in as much as, for instance, if there was a massive drop off of Horde players, they would bring in another realm. There would be a constant balancing of population.
Yeah.
Now, I guess they have an idea of what they'd have to do in order to meet this massive Horde for Alliance ratios that happen on certain realms. But on your smaller realms that perhaps are a bit more balanced, you know, you may all just be the people that are on your realm. It's going to be
well, yeah, I mean, with all the realm connecting going on, I guess their goal is to try and get to as many realms that are balanced within themselves before the next expansion.
Yeah, and they really are motoring that up. I don't know if you've seen the massive amounts that are coming up in the next few weeks. I mean, they're really pushing that forward quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's a great idea. I don't know whether they did mention certain things like there'll be goals on the island, there'll be things that you can capture, you know, there'll be various bits and pieces that you can do.
Who knows? It might be the PvP that finally draws me into seriously doing some PvP in an expansion.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I like the idea of it being persistent. I like the idea that I can jump in at any time, but I'm not. You know, if you, what I used to have on top of reference, I used to come in, oh, I just missed it.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
No, I get, it's, we just lost it, or we just won it, or, you know, whatever. It would be a bit more hit and miss. The fact that I can now jump over to the island, now, particularly if there's a persistent map system where you're taking certain parts of the island, or, you know, you have benefits that persist. Say, I jump back in and the Horde has lost a particular area where I want to reclaim back because it gives us some advantage.
Yep.
Fantastic. I can spend an hour fighting for that particular element.
Mm.
You know, so I'm looking forward to it. I certainly will be giving PvP Island a try. Now, one other reason I'll be doing PvP more than I perhaps do now is number 8 on our list, which talk about you getting slapped in the mouth and blown away by stuff that Blizzard are planning to do.
I think this was probably the biggest cheer that I heard all weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to explain what it is?
Dynamic gear.
Dynamic gear.
What could dynamic gear mean? And I love that the example that they gave. There's now no plate that is intellect. So, you have pallies that see all this plate drop and it's plate intellect. And the only person that can use it is a pally healer. Yep. No more. All the primary stats now change with your spec.
Oh,
man.
Now, where have we seen that recently? Take a breath. Have a think.
I pass. Where have we seen that recently?
Timeless Isle. You pick up a piece of gear. It doesn't matter what spec you are. As soon as you go and pop it on, turns to the spec. Now,
that's true.
It's slightly different.
It's a bit more advanced because it keeps changing it's when you change the spec.
There's your stunning right there. It's all well and good being a pally in a raid and seeing int gear drop and thinking, okay, well, there's no pally healers here, so that's wasted. But you're a rep pally, you pick it up, bang, you've got your strength or whatever you need to be a rep pally.
Yeah.
You go change spec to your healer pally because your raid requires it. You're thinking, I don't have a healing set. Oh, no, hang on a second. That Bam. Piece of gear I just picked up, it's now got
full of intellect. Full of intellect. No more having to have two sets of gear or three if you're a druid. That is
how much time brilliant. Have you spent dual specking gear? How much time
much.
Out of your
free Far too much. I mean, I used to enjoy it, but now it's got to the point where to be effective, you've got to use external tools like, you know, Ask Mr. Robot in order to understand what the hell's going on. Yeah. And it's got to the point where it's silly that it's so complicated and that you can't do it in game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of feeling of, oh no, they're dumbing the game down even more. But really my overwhelming feeling is great. This is a great change. It was just too complicated. It didn't make sense that you couldn't figure out what to do with your gear in game.
Yeah, and sometimes when people use the word dumbing down, they're using the wrong word. They should be looking at the word streamlining, because there's not.
Yeah, streamlining, simplifying.
How dumb are you to want to go through the pain, if you're a druid, of having to gear three times?
True.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people took pleasure in examining their gear and figuring out the best thing to do with reforging and gems and enchants and balancing your gear. And I'm sure that there was people that loved doing that. But
I'm sure there were. I mean, there was always a massive amount of min-maxes in any type of complex MMO.
Mm.
And there is a certain kudos from getting the perfect build.
Yeah. Now it's just too complicated, anybody that's serious about it just goes and uses services like Ask Mr. Robot.
Exactly. So the dumbing down, I don't know. I mean, I personally haven't really experienced the level of gear acquisition that you have and many other people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm spending a huge amount of time at the moment. Even my warlock, even the different specs of a warlock require different optimizations of your gear.
Wow. So, I'm gonna shed a small tear. I don't know if you can hear it. It's just coming out the corner of my eye.
I can see it dripping.
Mr. Robot may not have as much to do.
He's not gonna have a lot
currently
to do.
Has to do.
Couple of other little changes.
Little changes. There was a chair. There was another chair from the crowd when they said goodbye to
reforging.
Oh, oh!
And as they said, you got to love a feature where you get a cheer when you introduced it, and you get a cheer when you took it out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm, like I just said, I haven't spent a heck of a lot of time acquiring gear, and the whole stat weighting and building up various stats in order to be relevant, say for instance in higher levels, higher level areas, scares me. I don't like it. I don't like somebody going, as you've done just recently, you said you're going to have to really get more hit.
Need more hit, mate. You're missing. Get some hit.
No matter how much fantastic dexterity I can show on the keyboard as far as getting stuff, getting myself a nice rotation, getting things hit quickly, using the various cooldowns effectively, I miss because I don't have the plus whatever it is hit on my pair of gloves.
Yeah.
Now, we can say goodbye to that as well because hit's gone. Yay!
No hit. No expertise.
No expertise. I didn't even know what expertise was.
No parry. Yeah. And I reckon 99% of people are right there with you, mate.
I've got no idea what that is.
Yeah.
They also said, this is another reason why Mr. Robot may well be able to take a break for a wee while, is there'll be less gem slots available.
Fewer
there won't
chance.
Be meta gems. No meta gems.
Hmm.
As I understand, no meta slot. Yeah, and fewer enchants. Again, the massive. You look at a piece of gear, and then you look at the potential enchants that I can put onto it.
Yep.
It's overwhelming, and it doesn't make the game any better for me. Doesn't make me think to myself, well, that's fantastic. I've got such a wide choice. I can get the best build ever by doing this. What I do, and what I guess most players do to a certain extent, is go along to Icy Veins and see what's the best piece of gear for my spec, the best enchant for my spec. And I slap that on. I have no idea what the freaking thing's doing. But I've just been told that that's the best way of doing it. And that's no way. That's not giving me any joy of choice. It's giving me, an illusion of choice.
Well, there's still going to be choice because there's going to be a lot less armor is going to have gem slots.
Mm.
But the ones that you do, there'll be a lot more choice of the gems that you can put in it. And same for enchants.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Because, I mean, you have to appease the people with these professions as well.
Yeah, and they did say that. They did say that they would look at how the professions are effective as far as their ability to make gold and the ability to necessarily even have one.
But I mean, if you think back to enchanting and vanilla, it was basically I want to enchant for my sword. I think that was it. I don't know. I don't remember enchanting anything else in vanilla. It was my weapon.
Yeah. I like the idea that you'll be able to still have a choice. That I can certainly see weapons being a big one as far as enchants go. That continues because they have an effect. Not I'm not talking about a cosmetic effect, but they have an effect that is palpable. You can actually, you know, if you get an enchant which occasionally throws a rabid squirrel, yeah. at the
you're gonna sit there and wait to see a rabid squirrel.
It's right. It's good. And I think that's the kind of enchants that are going to be good. Going back to the days where you can have your crusader and you can have, you know, blood dripping off your weapon. I can't remember which one that was. Was that crusader? Yeah. So I like the idea that they're going to reduce the number of enchants, but hopefully they're going to make those enchants that much more epic and much more, you know, giving you physical impact.
Looking forward to that. So while this is all that's all what we just talked about there was your armor.
Your armor.
Whereas your other bits and pieces, bits and bobs, your trinkets, your jewelry, your weapons, they will still be role specific. They will still have role specific stats on them.
Yeah.
So that's fine. It's a nice balance.
And I like the idea that the weapon continues to be specific because you do That is your distinction in many ways. I mean, if you're going in as a warrior tank, you're going to have your sword and board. You're going to have your shield and your sword.
Yep.
If you're going in as a rep pally, you're going to have your two hander. And there are distinctions to be made between the different classes and different specifications within those classes based upon the type of weapon you're using. And I think that has to stay. I think that's good. I couldn't see them doing it any other way really, because it would become a bit. I mean. You don't want a dynamic weapon.
No, it doesn't make as much sense. Yeah.
It doesn't make as much sense.
Your one-handed sword and your shield suddenly turned into a two-hander.
Yeah. Although I saw a tweet that you said that you'd like to have a staff which split into two.
Yeah. Or fit...
I don't know what all that was about.
Well, I mean, you pick up an off-hander. So you've got I'm currently got a staff. Okay, I go through a raid, and I just got an awesome off-hander. Okay, well, I can't use it because I don't have a one-hander to go with it.
Okay.
I've got a staff. Why can't I snap it in half? I mean, you know, think about what a staff is. Staff really is a scabbarded sword. I just pull out my one-handed sword from a scabbard and stick the scabbard in my backpack, and now I've got my one-handed sword, and I can equip my off-hand. And, my sword's got some percentage of the stats that the staff had.
There was a question about having more weapon types. I know one of the developers did mention the war glaives. They'd like to work on something similar to that. There was also the question about having dual pistols and that type of thing, which they said no to, or they weren't working on. But so it is interesting. I think a weapon... It's nice to see a nice shiny set of armor, and with transmog these days, you're not looking necessarily at the armor the person's wearing.
Yep.
You're looking at the cosmetic transmog. So it isn't as iconic as it used to be. But weapons, I think, I like the idea of weapons. I know you can transmog weapons, but I like the idea of being of hunting a weapon, hunting a chest. You know, hunting bare legs. But hunting a weapon is what a warrior, what a hunter would do in real life. You know, they'd be out foraging for the best weapon.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Indeedly.
They haven't taken everything. They haven't just taken.
Not just taking away. Giving. Everybody wants a bit of giving. And what are they giving us?
Tertiary stats.
Ooh.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that I hadn't... I mean, we have seen various speed boosts on pieces of gear. I don't know if off the peg or whether the vast majority of those are enchants. I think mainly enchants. durability, for instance. There's a tertiary stat they're talking about, which is durability.
Yeah,
The fact that you
don't
could,
take any damage.
Which I know a lot of people
big roar for that one.
Would love. Yeah, they have said quite clearly that this is not the sort of thing you would farm, that you wouldn't necessarily have a speed set or durability set, because their chances of dropping in their various iterations will not be huge, and that there's not going to be a case, they're hoping there won't be a case where a raid team says, okay, we need somebody with free speed boosts in order for us to achieve this dungeon.
I can't imagine them doing that. I mean, these are tertiary stats, so you don't expect them to have a significant impact on gameplay.
Now, we haven't got it. Have we got it on the... Oh, no, we kind of have, but we haven't got it specifically on this list, but they did mention, I know... Can you just tell me a little bit what Warforged is? What
Warforged? No. I've no idea what Warforged is.
As I understand it, and I don't have much of a grasp of this either, there are armor... We know the basic rare, epic, green armor types.
Yep.
And that depending upon their level, their stats are going to be higher. So your goal is to obviously try and get as many epic pieces as possible, because they're going to have the highest stats. As I understand it, there's also an area of armor called Warforged, which is a set of kit which is epic plus.
Okay. I completely
understand
that.
I don't know, but what they've said is that you may get a piece of armor. Now, I'm not sure what the naming convention will be, whether it will be exactly the same name for that piece of armor, but instead of saying epic, it will say Warforged, or it will say there are some other higher versions. So, at one stage, you go ahead and you find a piece of armor which has the tertiary stat of speed on it. And you think, oh, that's great. And then you get another piece of armor which doesn't have the tertiary stat of speed, but is, instead of being just a normal epic or a normal rare, it's actually going to be a Warforged piece.
Mm.
And therefore, you give up the tertiary, but you gain more weight in your primary stat. And that they wanted I think what they're going for, and I'm not sure I've explained it properly, but what they're going for is this idea that currently you run through a set of dungeons with a shopping list of items that you want to get.
Yeah.
And once you've got them, you stop doing the dungeons. Now, whether that's gear or whether that's certain elements that you need for, say, the legendary quest, or, there's incentive for you to be in that dungeon. Once that incentive is gone, because you've achieved the goal you set out to achieve.
Yeah, you're not running it anymore.
The dungeon becomes redundant to you. And I think what they're saying is that it's all well and good, but you haven't got the highest level of gear that you could get, because there's a very small chance of you getting the same item but of a higher quality above and beyond epic. So that'll be I don't know if I've explained it properly, and somebody else needs to have a look at that, but that's kind of what I think they're getting. That's certainly the ethos they're getting across. They said that several times, is the idea that they want people to go back into the dungeons, to not necessarily knock them on the head as soon as they've achieved their goals, because those goals are dynamic and flexible, and things are being added and so on and so forth. So that's good.
Very good.
Now, as we said at the very beginning, cap's going to 100. So when we hit Draenor, when we go through what I understand is going to be a red portal, instead of the current bluey, swirly, whirly portal, it's going to turn red at some stage. We're going to start questing, and we're going to go from 90 to 100, and I imagine some of us are going to do that in a week.
Some of us are going to do it in a day.
Yeah. Although there's no need to rush, because there are no realm firsts, by the way. I don't know if you heard that mentioned.
Really? I didn't.
No realm first 100, no.
Oh.
Because of the whole cross-realm thing, they said it's not really possible.
What is a realm?
Exactly. It's, as we said, it's this amorphous blob.
Yeah, the amorphous blob first. So what? There must be a world first, though.
Yes. I'm sure there will still be the massive world firsts. And there have to be. I mean, the thing of the world first is it is independent of where you are.
Mm.
It's not a realm. You're not being helped or hindered by the realm you're on. So they're going down the route, which I think is a very good idea, and something that the Timeless Isle kind of introduced, although they didn't necessarily have massive amounts of quest lines, of having a main storyline, the type of thing you saw in Pandaria, where it's relatively linear. You're progressing the story, you're seeing the world events change, and you're feeling part of the entire event. And then on the side of that, they're going to have quests, which, as I said, similar to what you do in Timeless Isle, all of a sudden you see an exclamation mark. It's not in the main hub that you started out in. It isn't going to affect the story, and you can take it or leave it. Which I think, again, I know you personally are a fantastic explorer and you love the whole exploration. I think this is going to tick a lot of your boxes.
Yeah, I mean, this fixes something that I've complained about on this show, that the whole linear progression through a zone and having to, if you want to go and quest in a zone on an alt, you don't want to have to do the main storyline again. This is brilliant. You know, I could just go and do the side storyline, or I could just go and do the main storyline. You know, I still want that linear story, but I don't want to have it all phased and reliant on me doing everything beforehand to get to some point that, where I'm not doing the same series of quests again and again on every other alt.
Yeah,
so I think it's good. I'm really looking forward to that.
Certainly one of the big tick marks for Timeless Isle, this ability to suddenly find a piece of an item, say, for instance, that gives you a quest, or to kill something and a quest drops. Again, if you want to use a good word, old school, because that's what used to happen.
It did. There was a lot of, you've picked something up. It's look at it and start a quest. And they're doing a lot of, now with your AOE looting, that's easier to miss. But and they've already implemented some of this stuff with showing you new stuff that you've picked in, that you've picked up since last time you opened your bags. But they are doing a lot of bag and inventory changes.
Yeah, they are, including having quest items not take
no,
your bag.
No quest items in your bags. Oh my god.
Which is good, because I guess that also means you'll be able to go to a certain place in your inventory and see all your quest items. or else they'll be ticking away on the side where your quest watcher is and showing you how many of those you've got.
Just somewhere, just not in my bags. That's great.
And also another thing as well, which I think is, again, fantastic, because it differentiates between the run you make on your main and the runs that you may make in the future on your alt, is the quest rewards themselves are not going to be set in stone.
No.
They're going to be rare or epic.
Mm, or a chance thereof.
Normal. Yeah. Now, I don't know how high that chance is. I don't know. But it certainly gives you...
Doesn't matter.
Because what happens
it gives
now...
You, you don't do a quest because, I've done that quest. But now, well, there's a chance I'm going to get an epic reward from it. Of course you're going to go and do it.
Of course you are, yeah. And again, I love that idea. I love the idea that it's not set in stone, and that, you know, there's a good reason for you to go back on alts and do the quest lines again and experience the world again. I think that's a very good idea.
Hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see if we do get any QQing, whether it'll be around the, I've done this quest on 10 alts and I've never got anything above a green, and my friend just did it and he got an epic. And as you mentioned, inventory changes, big ones, including one which I, got moist over, which was being able to do professions from the bank
rather than having stuff in the bank. I could hear Molson cheering all the way from the other side of the world when I heard that one.
Now, it's good, and I love the idea of it, and it's long overdue. It would change the way I do certain things, because I have bank characters that aren't profession doers holding a lot of stuff in large banks, including large specific guild banks, which I've just set up for that very reason. So it will change certain number of things I do, but it's a good change. It's a change that I'm happy to go through a certain amount of pain initially and get on and do that. So, but I do like that idea. I also like the idea that a lot of the things they talked about, including stack sizes being bigger. I don't understand why it all has to be at 20. And if it can be at 100, then I'm happy to have, you know, 40 stacks in my bank to go ahead and do some, you know, blacksmithing or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a bag full of 50 stacks of 20, you know, herbs or something. I mean, it's just makes it impossible to do anything en masse because you just don't have the bag room for it. So,
yeah,
fantastic change.
A major change.
Yeah.
And with bag sizes getting bigger and the ability to slot those into your bank, you know, again, that makes things even easier. So.
Yeah.
It's cool. But it's not the only thing they're changing with the old inventory. What else are they doing?
I complained to you that this should have been item number one on the list.
He did.
As a committed altaholic, more collections, including account-wide heirlooms. Oh, my God.
And I guess that means, like, it's going to be similar to the way that the you can see your pets and your mounts.
Mm.
They showed a little bit of a UI for it, including the, which I thought was also very good, the ability to see those that you don't currently own and where those can be obtained from.
Brilliant. And brilliant. So,
not only account-bound, but cross-realm.
Yeah. Because one of the big reasons that you're not going to go and start on a new realm and start from fresh is that you've got, this is your first turn, you don't have your heirlooms, you've got nothing there, and you're going to be slow leveling. Account-wide heirlooms, you just log in, they're there, you use them, away you go. Brilliant change.
Yeah.
So that takes away the whole, you know, when am I going to be able to mail my heirlooms cross realm? Well, you don't have to anymore. They're just, you know, they're account wide.
Yeah. Somebody actually asked, and I think he misheard the repeat of the question by Cat Hunter, but somebody asked Tom Chilson about would there ever be the chance to mail gold cross realm, which of course there never will be because that's just like, you know, opening the gates.
The economy is kabang.
It's ridiculous, I guess. But anyway, but he kind of missed that. But he then went on to explain how their idea of you being able to collect gear on one realm and it to be account bound and therefore available to all your characters regardless of the realm. Actually, while we're on that, and I know it's not on the list either, a question that came up during their sort of Q&A about anything you wanted to do a Q&A about was about guilds and how there was this huge push in Wrath to, I believe it was Wrath, maybe Kata probably, to make guild significant. And they, obviously the idea that a guild can climb, that it has leveling within it, built into it, that you get perks as the levels go up and so on and so forth. And that with all the cross-realm stuff and the fact that something we'll come on to in a minute will also be cross-realm, what is the point of guilds? You know, what is the point? Because you can go on to, they're introducing some UI changes where you can actually find people.
A group for anything.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. For anything. And they can be on any realm as long as they're on your faction and you can bring them in to whatever you want to do.
Mm.
Currently, obviously, a lot of that takes place within the realm of the guild. And I'm sure as a member of AIE, you probably spend a lot of time, or when you're about to do something, you do a little shout out to your guild, your green wall. Get a lot of people coming on board. He said, you know, guilds are still the primary focus of groups joining together.
Yeah, it's the primary. Yeah, they're kind of using guilds and friends interchangeable. Yeah,
he said that because there are some bonuses, and we'll talk about that in a minute, about bonuses about being in a group of friends as opposed to a group of random people.
Yep.
That you're getting,
but at the same time, said that they, you know, whilst, you know, there was a question of, you know, when are you bringing back Have Groot Will Travel, and it was like, well, you know, we've got all these guild perks and things, and you know, we don't feel that there's a strong need for us to be giving you new levels and new perks with every expansion with those.
I think what it did is that it ticked a box for what they wanted to do within that expansion.
Yep.
And that was to make guilds relevant and to get people more involved in guild activity. And there's still going to be that. The fact is, you're still going to be earning guild achievements for running dungeons, doing all the other things that you currently do guild achievements for. Your guild, although it may not necessarily be climbing past level 25, it is going to be still achieving. And I'm sure there are going to be various things such as pets and maybe different types of heirloom, geared around the guild achieving certain levels within the content. So it's certainly not going away. But I can see the person's point of view in as much as you now have many other avenues of getting groups together that don't necessarily have to be within the same group.
Sure.
But what do more guilds do than anything else apart from QQ? They do raid, yes. And what do they currently, what's their current choice of raid?
Well, at the moment you've got your LFR, which isn't really guild oriented. You've got your normal, your flex, your normal and your heroic. And they're
That's going
just
to change.
tossing that all to the wind. Well,
See ya.
not exactly, but it's except for the new heroic mode, which is now called Mythic.
Mythic.
Kind of like that. Apart from Mythic mode, the rest of it's pretty much basically going to be flex.
Tend to be
Flex,
fun.
flex, and more flex.
There was a weird mistake, and I don't know. If you look at any of the slides of how the rating is going to change, it all says that flex will be from 10 to 25. So you can have, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever, 23, 24, 25. A couple of times when asked, and I'm not sure who the person was they were asking, they said 30.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether they just made a mistake, I don't know, or
No,
there were maybe some fans.
there was actually, geez, I've forgotten now, but there was actually a conversation around it can go higher, up to 30, but they felt that at 40 it was probably too much, in terms of being able to scale fights and dealing with server lag and stuff like that. So it did kind of, even though they said out of the gate 10 to 25, there was all that other chatter going on about, well, actually it could be up to 30 or 35.
Yeah, I can see that. I know that the biggest sort of barrier to all of this happening is their ability to dynamically change the contact with the boss and various other pieces of the mechanics. And actually, that's the answer they gave to why the mythic, the new level, this is the cutting edge. This is what the world first runs will be towards, is achieving this mythic. Now, as you mentioned, this is the only one which will not be flex, and it will be 20 man. Now, as a raider, how does that sound to you?
Well, as a currently a non-heroic raider, Mythic will
Fine.
have, yeah, Mythic will have no impact on me whatsoever. The fact that the rest of them are flex mode, perfect. I'm happy with that. Yep. Perfect. I mean, flex mode LFR, it just makes so much sense because, at the moment, you can be sitting there for half an hour waiting for that sixth healer before you can pull, because you know you're not going to be able to heal through it. It's just silly. So yeah, to have a flex LFR just makes perfect sense.
I mean,
And I
the
love
flex has obviously
that.
been incredibly popular, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very, very. And as you've mentioned, there are currently magic numbers to the size of your flex group, because
Well,
yeah.
we had this as a topic for last week's discussion, which we actually never did. We never did the discussion.
Oh, didn't we? No, we must have
No,
discussed it off
we
air.
skipped over that.
So there is currently there is a magic number for the size of flex groups, on different fights, because for some particular fight it might be, well, if you've got 14 people in this thing, then three bad things happen to people, but if you've got 15, then four bad things happen to people, which means, okay, well, then we're only going to take 14. We don't want a 15th person because it's just going to make it worse. So for the vast majority of the mechanics in raids, and it isn't for all of them because for some things it just doesn't make sense, but for the vast majority, they're changing it to be a percentage chance for something to happen. So yeah, it basically does away with all the concern about the avoiding, you know, magic numbers in flex. You know, it's not going to make a huge difference whether you've got 14 or 15.
No. It was a theory. It was like this magic number thing was a whole conspiracy theory that was going on. But they actually made quite clear that is exactly what does happen.
Yeah.
That at 14, you get two enrages, say, or whatever, two offense, which may wipe your team. And at 15, you get three.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's going to be 2.6. And the 6% chance will, or the 0.6% chance will be it being a third, or they're not being a third. Mm. So I think that's fantastic. I'm surprised that's not what they did in the first place. That seemed to make a lot more sense.
Well,
I guess
it was that, it's kind of like the way that loot drops work. There's a whole bunch of questions on, you know, the chances of my bonus rolls, and, you know, should I be using my bonus rolls, and what's the chances? It's really, you know, they're not going to reveal the actual code behind it, right? But
no,
you know, people have basically, you know, figured it out by observation, and so, you know, they've worked out what the magic numbers are for flex fights at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and I like the way the guy said, one of the panelists said, I see it on the forums every now and then when somebody goes, I rolled 15 times and all I got was the gold.
Yeah.
Those people are lying.
They're lying.
I still see it,
yeah,
but they're lying, yeah, because he knows the code, and he knows there's a point where there's no chance of you not getting a proper item. So.
Mm.
So, but there was a lot. I think the main bug, there were two weird bugbears that people brought up. The 20, the change from 25 and 10 man.
My guild is a 10-man guild. How are we going to get 20? What exactly. You know, they've got to do it for the masses. I mean, what percentage of guilds are out there that are precisely 10-man guilds that want to run heroic? Come on, it's got to be less than 1%.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, they've already explained that there's a whole ton of stuff coming up which will let you find new friends. And the fact is, if there are masses of guilds, which I'm sure they've looked at the numbers, there are not masses of guilds.
No.
That are just 10 men or 10 people, then they're going to be a few of them that are, they're going to be quite a few of them that are in the same situation. So yes, merge them together.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily a complete merge, but have some sort of grouping up on raid nights. You know, there's not. They've given plenty of advance notice. Now, worst case scenario, if we're looking at your calendar and we're looking at a sort of winter release, or at least a winter release here in the Northern Hemisphere, then you've got enough time to rearrange whatever needs to be rearranged. And as we get closer and closer, there's going to be more and more information about exactly what you can do to rearrange. Now, the Blizzard people were not immune to this. They weren't sitting on stage going, well, we've changed it, and, you know, tough luck, sucks to be you. They appreciated that this is a change which is not necessarily going to rub well with everybody.
Yeah.
But what they said quite clearly, and I think this has to be taken into account, is Blizzard are looking at the long term. They know that they're going to have hard time being able to gear the mechanics to switch from a 10-man set of people, which necessitates that you can't bring every class, and a 25-man group of people. They know that. They know that their limitations of programming skill is not able to do it properly.
Mm.
And so they set 20-man, where they can now do all the lovely mechanics that raiders enjoy, or don't enjoy, or really hate, but, you know, are a challenge.
Yeah, focus, they don't on have getting to worry about
gearing it down.
Because now there's so many levels of raiding that they've got to get right. I mean, there's only so many different variants that they can put in and put resources into it. So, you know, I think if you look at the community on whole, what they've come up with is going to meet more than 99% of the groups that are out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
And the other weird QQ was, well, I went ahead and bought that yak, and you're getting rid of reforging. And the yak lets me reforge. And I think a few people sent in questions along the lines of, will you be refunding me my gold? Because I can't now. Stupid people.
You can still repair
the,
with
the
it.
Answer they gave them, the answer they said, well, they'll probably put something else in that slot, in the reforging slot on the yak, so you haven't wasted your money.
We'll put a corporate banker in there.
Jokingly, they said things like, how about a vanilla raid? I thought it was very good. But anyway. I think, again, this is raids are going to be something that we could talk about a heck of a lot as we get closer.
Oh, there'll be lots. There'll be lots of talking.
But you seem to be enjoying number 17.
Yeah, there was a discussion around max level content of the game. And another huge cheer for the statement, at max level, there will be little to no dailies.
Ooh.
Wow. So I think they got the message pretty loud and clear with all the dailies that is in MOP.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot more of your Timeless Isle, Isle of Thunder style gaming, which I think is going to be a very welcome change for the vast majority of players.
Yeah. I'm not sure what new factions we're going to see in Warlords, but it'd be interesting to see how they cope with the ability to get faction rep.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want what we've got in the Timeless Isle, where it's just grinding elites to get rares. I'm sure it won't be that, but
It can't be really. I mean, the Timeless Isle obviously is an incredibly small area, so hopefully they'll take advantage of the fact they've got a huge map to work with. But I know that, for some people, dailies are bread and butter, the bread and butter stuff that they do daily. But
it's always, it's got to the, certainly at the start of the expansion was, I'm doing them because I have to do them. Otherwise, I can't get to the next bit of the content of the game. I can't.
And it was also your route to gear, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You had to run dungeons to get valor, and you had to do dailies to get rep in order to buy gear with your valor in order to get to the point where you can raid. So
I remember that last catch 22.
Yeah, you had to do it. People hate being forced to the point where you have to do this because there's no other way for you to progress in the game. So,
and that's certainly something I think, as you said, they learnt the reaction from the player base was hugely adverse to that, forcing you down a certain route in order to achieve any sort of progress.
Now, and I'm not saying by a long stretch that they should eliminate all dailies.
No.
Your cooking dailies and your fishing dailies, I'm more than happy for them to be left there and do those.
Yeah. But I think what they have seen is if you can give people alternatives, sure, have dailies.
That's really what it is, isn't it? It's all about alternatives. It's like your pet battles. Yeah, you don't have to do your pet battle dailies, but you can just go out and do pet battles anywhere. It's all about choices.
Choice, that's a good word, yeah. Number 8, we're going down this list, we're almost near the end. Number 18, I didn't really get this one. So
they are talking about the fact that right now you look at your bars and your bars are full, chock-a-block full of spells. You're adding another 10 levels. They're not going to be tossing a whole bunch of new spells at you, and you're going, well, where the hell am I going to put them? Because all my bars are full up. So instead of giving us a whole bunch of new spells, what they're going to give us is the ability to upgrade core spells. Some of the example they gave, off the top of my head here, it was like mage, ice bolt is your standard. You do an upgrade and it's ice bolt plus 30%.
Yeah, okay. And that will happen, say, at level 93, 94, 95, whatever. It won't be
Yeah, so my understanding is you're getting those to upgrade your spells rather than new spells through that leveling process. And maybe they'll even, who knows, maybe they'll put that back through the whole leveling process rather than, again, changing, as we've just got used to the new point at which you get spells, maybe that's all up for grabs again, and they'll change that and deal them out differently and let you do spell upgrades along the way up to 90.
I like see it's funny because it's almost like they use the idea of spell ranks, which was an old style way of doing things.
Yeah,
So
if you're an old school player, you'll remember spell ranks, which they got rid of a long time ago. But I mean, spell
and
ranks
that
used to,
was
it was kind of, it was abused in a way because, you'd have healers doing conserving mana by doing a level one heal spell for something, some, specific thing that just needed some sort of heal, didn't have to be big. So, they kind of got abused,
Yeah,
but
they gamed that quite a
they
bit.
gamed it, yeah. So it's kind of along those lines, but obviously they'll be thinking hard about how not to have it, we let it be gamed.
Well, it won't be because obviously your ice bolt will be plus 30%. It's not like you can do your old ice bolt, as I
Sure.
understand it. So, I mean, everybody quite likes, at least I do, I quite like seeing a new flashy spell, nice new animation. And perhaps I know there were some questions about the green fire that warlocks got. Somebody asked whether I can't remember what it was, but something could be blue instead of green. I don't know. I
Oh,
got a little bit confused, but
can a mages, can we, at the moment we can have glyphs to change the color of a mage's evocation. Can we have more ways to change the color of a mage's evocation? I'm like, oh,
I do remember
okay.
yelling out and upsetting a nurse. What does it matter what color
That's an extreme role playing right there. If you're at the point where you're concerned about the color of your evocate.
Yeah, so I don't know what that was about, but anyway. But I certainly agree your bar is too full. And I like the idea that by getting to level 94, you can improve upon those core spells, which are your bread and butter parts of your rotation. I think that's a very good idea, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that all works out. One thing they're also doing, because you said yourself, I think it may have been Rose, somebody was doing ridiculous amounts of DPS, it was like 400,000 or something stupid. They're doing a thing which they've been sort of trying to do quite a bit in past expansions, and also they've touted for future expansions, is this item squishing the numbers, taking off a load of those zeros. And they showed some examples, and that all makes sense. I don't, and
It's
they
all
said
just math.
it's just math, yeah, it's just numbers, because they said quite clearly if it takes you 5 seconds to kill a gulp frog now, it'll take you 5 seconds to kill a gulp frog after the squish, but just the number won't look as big. And at the end of the day, what is your goal? To see a large number or to see a dead gulp frog? Personally, I want to see that gulp frog dead,
Well,
regardless
it's
of.
all about, relative, and that's what they're keeping the same. The relativity of everything remains the same. It's just the numbers are being scaled down. And
Yeah, and they'll.
personally, I think they should do that every expansion. Not wait till it gets to the point where you can't see anything on your screen from the numbers on your scrolling combat text. It's just completely filling your screen up with zeros.
I sometimes think those zeros are actual new trash, new bosses. They're so big, and
I have to
I think
keep
I'm not going to be able to kill that
my
one.
recount window has to keep getting bigger and bigger because the numbers on it get bigger, and it's like taking, it's got to, it'll get to the point where recount needs its own monitor.
That's right, yeah. Anyway, I think again a very good idea, and it seems like they're definitely going to implement it this time. I know they've, like I said, they've touted it before, not necessarily been able to get the full effect.
Sounds like they've fleshed it out, so.
And I can't imagine. I'm sure the thing of all of these things is everything that we've just said, everything that we've just gone through, and we've gone through 19 points there, all of them big, significant changes to come in Warlords. There will still be people that have a problem.
Always.
I know. I mean, I was listening to the BlizzCon coverage, listening to the panels, and at the same time I was watching Twitter and also WoW Insider. And it's like, for instance, we are talking at some stage about a level of time travel. So in order for us to achieve this new content, we have, and this, I apologize if this is a spoiler for anybody, but if it is, you may need to, go play another game. Garrosh isn't killed at the Siege of Orgrimmar. He is put in on trial and he escapes, and he manages somehow by using, it seems to be like he'll be using chromie, or that's the that seems to be the hint they use. And
He
actually they did mention,
gets helped. He says he gets help.
yeah, from, and there's a bit of timey-wimey. The portal that we all know and love down in Blast Lands turns red, and instead of you passing through to what is currently now Outland, you will pass through to what was Draenor 30 or 35 years ago. So there's your time. There's your timey-wimey. The Iron Horde on the other side, what he does, he as I understand it, he stops the Horde taking the blood off Manaroth, and therefore turning into the blood, the corrupted Horde, turning them green. In fact, he doesn't actually turn them green. They end up staying their original sort of clay color, and therefore being able to come together and not at the behest of the Burning Legion, but develop this Iron Horde, this the kind of horde that Garrosh has always wanted to have. Also a racially distinct horde, in as much as there are no other members, it's just orcs. And those, of course, that new combination of horde is what's going to threaten Azeroth, because they're going to come back through the portal and right all the wrongs that Garrosh feels that he's had done to him.
Right, but but only they're only affecting the Azeroth that we know it because they're coming
Exactly.
through the
So we've
portal.
done our history. We've done. We've had our history. The Burning Legion did happen. Those horde did get corrupted. Those horde did come through. There was all the history that we know and love.
So it's not like our timeline has suddenly changed.
No,
It all remains the
exactly.
same, but they're coming through the portal and wreaking new havoc.
Yeah. So our, as I understand it, our goal within this new expansion is to jump in through the portal and stop them getting back into Azeroth.
And
Fantastic.
if I'd day one, I'd just get in my grab my flax capacitor and stop Biff from grabbing the almanac, and we should be set.
See, I don't think one thing I think got confused some people is that when we go through the dark portal or the red portal on day one, the other side is still is 35 years. Is it back to our time is timeline? All the stuff that's happened in order for them to be the Iron Horde, they've developed a different path, but that path has still taken 30, 35 years.
No, I see what you're
I don't
saying.
think,
Yeah, I'm not sure.
yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I don't think we'll be going back to where we won't be going back straight after Garrosh gets there, because otherwise he won't have had time to make any changes to the line. So I think we are going. It's still everything that we see as players is our timeline. There's no difference. The difference being, of course, is that there's a new enemy on the other side, which is not the corrupted Horde, but the
Yeah, so the
Iron
so
Horde.
he they were went to great pains to say, well, Garrosh is not the key player in this
And
expansion.
they did say who it was.
Sorry?
Do you hear that? He did say who it was.
No, I did not. Do I want to hear
Well,
that? Is that too much of a spoiler?
I was surprised he answered. Now he may maybe he was doing it tongue in cheek. I don't know, but he seemed relatively. Cat Hunter asked him. He said, "Well, we know that Garrosh. You've already said that Garrosh is not going to be the big bad in this particular expansion, or at least not going to be the end boss. He's going to be the one that is the catalyst to the change." Who is going to be the big bad? And the guy just went boom, 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 and that was it. He just answered
Oh,
it.
well, that's
So,
okay. That's kind
I
of
will let you.
surprising because from the talk that Metzen did, it seemed to me like he was pretty adamant that that wouldn't be revealed at this point.
Yeah,
So
maybe he
that kind
had
of
some drinks.
surprises
I
me.
don't know. I won't tell you who it was because, as I say, he may have just been taking the piss. But I won't tell you.
All right.
I'm not exactly sure who that was anyway, to be honest. I was like, oh, okay. Actually, I know who it is. It's a relative, but anyway, doesn't
Right.
matter.
But I did get the distinct impression that they were, and whether it is or not, but that it really felt like that they were trying to tell the Alliance that this will be their expansion. You know, the Horde have had their expansion. It's going to be time for the Alliance expansion.
Well, they certainly. I mean, that's certainly what Chris Metzen said. And he did his. Do you remember who you are, Alliance? All this malarkey.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't hear.
I didn't hear how. What's the story going to be that this is going to be a more of an Alliance focused expansion? Yeah, given that what we know now, the bad guys, these orcs that have been building up. So,
I mean, the
an interesting storyline to come.
And we won't go into too many details. We'll do this in 10. But the idea that the Alliance, in effect, were forced together because of the enemy they were facing, that those disparate groups of gnomes and dwarves and humans and night elves and so on were not necessarily friends. You know, in fact, they weren't. Mm. You know, there was quite a bit of shenanigans going on between them. And that an external enemy is what forced them to form an alliance. I can see that the fact that there's now a new external enemy that it would strengthen the alliance. And also the fact that the Horde is in a parlous state following the loss of their war chief and the new war chief, all the internal wranglings that have gone on. I can see it being a time for them to rebuild and not necessarily be in the forefront of these battles. But if you're playing Horde and you go through the Dark Portal and everything you see is Orc, then you're going to pretty much say, well, this is a Horde expansion. I don't understand why it's that. Although, of course, what we are forgetting and what they didn't really focus too much on, which I'm quite surprised about, is the fact that the Draenor area is as much Draenei as it is Orc. Although the Orcs are indigenous to the planet, the Draenei are the ones that arrived and started setting up these massive cities like Shattrath.
Well, maybe that's why it's going to be Alliance, because the Draenei are going to have more of a say in what's going on.
Mm. But I mean, we're going to roll this up now, and we're going to have so much. I think we're going to be able to talk about a lot about this again in episode 10. I'm sure we will, and I'm sure as the week between now and when we do episode 10, there's going to be lots more information coming out and more people giving their opinions and have a bit of back and
forth. I'm looking forward to hear some of the podcasts and opinions of the people that got to play the game on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. This is something that we've not yet heard. I come away from this with a reinvigoration. It's why I'm kind of hoping that we're not looking at 9 months.
It's why I'm looking from that point of view. Yeah, I mean, I want to see it in December. I'm just kind of, you know, I need to be a bit more realistic about, you know, the answers to the questions. We haven't sorted that out yet. And yeah, you see where they are with the character models, and all that sort of malarkey. It's, you know, we're not going to be seeing a beta for many months.
Yeah, you can see that there's a lot of work to be done, although they've obviously done a lot as well.
Yeah.
But what the question, and this is something that we'll talk about a lot more in 10, is we definitely have a gap of time between now and the next expansion. We are told that, as far as big content goes, we've had it and we're not getting any more. There is some hint of there being tiny, small things to do between now and then. However, one thing they said quite clearly is that every week we spend on 5 point whatever is less time, is taken away from the time that we should be spending on 6.
Of course.
So I get the impression there won't be balancing. A ton of stuff.
No, it's a very fine balancing act. But yeah, I mean, they've got to give us something. Yeah, there will be a 5.5.
And it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up. Now, I get the feeling that they've got lots more they could perhaps do with the Timeless Isle. I'm hoping that's probably the case, that there's other things they could do. They could perhaps, there's a few more islands floating around the edges of the map. I'm sure there's some.
A few more timey-wimeys.
And what I would also like to see is that we're doing stuff that prepares us to a certain degree for 6. It'd be interesting to see, because there's so much change happening. We already know there's going to have to be some sort of item boost And therefore, a lot of the stuff, although they did say quite clearly that the gear you're getting from Siege of Orgrimmar will be very relevant in the first, I don't know, whatever, however many levels when you hit the expansion, which will be good.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm
But
really
still.
looking forward to the 5.9. I'm hoping that they do another epic prelude patch
Because
into
we've had a couple of fizzlers and it's not been great. I want to go back to the days of pre-Wrath. It was all kicking off. That was great.
Give
Anyway,
us
we're going to
some more
wrap
of
up
that.
now. Sorry, Ashay, I know you talk way too much. we're going to wrap up now because this was supposed to be a mini episode.
Yeah,
We just
supposed to be a 30-minute episode, and I'm
hit the 2 hour
looking
mark.
at the 2-hour mark, rapidly approaching.
But there was so much to talk about, and like I say, well, I came away having not had. I'm going to now sit down and watch some of the panels, which I only got to hear because I want to see some of the slides, I want to see some of the video. I came away as a World of Warcraft player, absolutely enthused by the plans they have for Warlords, absolutely enthused by the mechanic changes that they're going to make, by some of the simple things like the inventory changes, but also the huge things like the garrisons. I mean, I'm already thinking. Garrisons, garrisons, garrisons. I'm just thinking of all the fantastic things that we can do within that arena. The PvP island, dynamic gear will now give me another incentive not to worry about getting into higher level content because of my fear of having to think about hit and expertise and all that malarkey and all the messing about with different specs. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that you too were pretty happy with this
Oh,
at the time.
very. I'm really excited for this. That just in every aspect of the way that I play the game, they're making a significant change that I think is going to better the game, and I'm looking forward to all of it.
I am too. So we're going to say goodbye for now. We will be back with episode 10, maybe not at the tail end of this week as we would normally have because there are certain things going on in real life which we need to deal with. But there will be an episode 10 coming. Hopefully this will keep you covered and keep you entertained between now and then. And
Indeedly doodly.
probably we know that our listeners are all massive fans of the game, obviously. I mean, why the hell would you be listening? Otherwise, I'm sure it's not for our sparkling wit and charm. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what really knocked you off your socks, what knocked your socks off during this particular BlizzCon. What is it you're looking forward to the most in Warlords? We're looking for the happiness that you gained from this, as opposed
Exactly.
to the, oh my God, they've got to destroy my yak.
Yeah.
So let us know.
It's in first round, no QQing. Let us know what you're super excited about.
All good, positive stuff. And until episode 10, I'm going to say goodbye.
Cherry Pip.
Doodle pip. Bye.
Bye.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.